Anyone here who's under the age of 35, raise your hand. That's half, more than half this room. See, here's the narrative in the United Pentecostal Church International. The narrative is that the old are outnumbering the young, and that we don't have enough of young to turn over to when we get old, and that that's happening today. That is the narrative in our organization today. I don't see that playing out in this meeting. I don't see that represented in this meeting, is my point. I didn't see that in Baltimore a few months ago in PAWS Baltimore. I didn't see that last year at PAWS here in Puyallup. My point is, all I feel to share is that there's a hunger in my generation. The narrative is that my generation doesn't see miracles anymore. I watched my three-day-old son lose his heartbeat for 63 seconds. And I'll never forget kneeling down outside that room and seeing through the hinge of that door, seeing the nurses run over, the professionals running over, doing what they can in that moment, knocking down chairs. And my wife and I kneeling down, because this is all we knew to do in that moment, was to call upon the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, my generation, if my wife and I are representation of this generation, we saw a miracle that day. We saw a kid, I haven't seen him in 8 years, walk into our congregation in Kent this last Sunday. I haven't seen him in years. He's a quiet, reserved young man, nice kid. And he walked up gingerly to the altar at the end of the service. And he raised his hands. And I could see that something was stirring in him. And I just remember a brother and I walking up to him. And as soon as we laid hands on him, he exploded. Tongues just began flowing out. And I said, this is a miracle. But here's the danger. My generation, let me talk to every one of you who's a part of this. We are distracted. The devil understands that if he can just distract me and put my mind somewhere else, then that's all he needs to do to leave me as a servant. He knows that if I can just become distracted, if he would just lead me to spend more time on social media and get up and scroll for a couple seconds and find someone's spiritual post or find a celebrity pastor clip, because my generation's familiar with that. We read those books. We've read those books. And we take in that content. And after a while, even though we're telling the elders, we're not letting that stuff out. That doesn't come out of me. The law of averages starts to take place. And those things that aren't based in truth that I'm taking in start to come out. Take heed. I just feel to mention that to everyone in this age group. There is a clear hunger. There's a thirst. There's a desire for more. We understand. We just can't, you know, if the label hasn't been put on it, there are people like me who understand I want more than servanthood. I want more than traditions. I want more than just upholding what my father did. I want more than the formula. I want more than church growth, because I've seen the things on the other side of that. And that's why I have close friends who I went to school with. That's why I have close friends who I grew up with. That's why I have friends of my father's friends who are no longer in this, who don't want anything to do with this, who have turned away from this. looking for more, looking for other things. And you know what's happening right now? It's been a few years since that falling out, since that generations began to look for other things. And they're starting to say, hey, honestly, I don't know if I'm any better off. Before we move further, let's make that prayer today. Father, don't let me miss out on what you have for me tonight. Don't let me become distracted, Father. Hikarabo shoto yoloboko. Hikatarabo shoto. If you're in this group, I'm going to call you to stand right now. Hikarabo shoto yoloboko. Come on, lift up your hands, lift up your voice, make a declaration. Will you do that today? Behold, you are doing a new thing. You are doing a new thing, and I will be aware of it, Father. Come on, these principles aren't just for the elders. These teachings aren't just for the elders. These concepts aren't just for my parents.
We're thankful to you, Father. We're thankful to you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, praise God. Amen. Please be seated. I would like to make an expression of thanks, especially to those who have participated in ministry in this meeting. The men and women that have traveled here and given of themselves. I so appreciate, don't you? It's never easy to leave home. I don't care what you're involved in. It's never easy to leave home. I do want to make one recognition here. For those of you from Life Ministries, whether it's Sela, Puyallup, Kent, you're aware that we have a structure. We have an executive council of elders, which is involves 10 or 12 people, I can't tell, can't remember now how many, across the congregations that are involved interactively with each of the congregations. And then we also have an external board of elders. And we have a new member of the external board of elders as of this year, and that is Brother Michael Gonzalez. And so now that you have come to know him just a little bit, I just wanted to make you aware, amen, that he is involved there. Amen. We appreciate your sacrifice. I'm going to say this to you. In the last PAWS meeting, it became evident to me, and I spoke this out to him because I've experienced this for myself. I said, God's gave you a place in the Holy Ghost here. He has gave you a place in the Spirit here in ministry. And as I pondered on that statement afterwards, I felt like it's these kinds of relationships that are God-given that I want to be involved on our external board of elders. All right? So you understand that connection? Established by God. We simply acknowledge that God has brought us together, but the Lord has taken it to another level, a deeper step, whatever we're going to call it. And so we acknowledge that and we participate with that at whatever length the Lord would ask us. He said, I will build my house and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We have got to believe that God is establishing his kingdom in the earth. And he may not be doing it all according to the way man would think. But it becomes evident and clear when he has established the bonds between men and women. Elder Hart, I'm asking you to come. Take your liberty here as God would lead you tonight.
We won't. Amen. Could we lift our voices to the Lord one more time? Make sure our spirits are open. Trust him to ride upon the fleshy tables of our heart as he's been doing this week. Lord, we worship you. We magnify you, Father. We give you glory and honor. We identify your sovereignty in this place, and we humble ourselves before you. We adore and magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are great and greatly to be praised. You are holy. You are righteous. There is none beside you. You are God and God alone. And we magnify you tonight, Lord. We lift up your name. We magnify your name. We exalt your name. Jesus, we give you glory. Jesus, we give you honor. Jesus, we exalt you. We pray that you would be lifted up. We pray that you would be glorified. We pray that you would be magnified and that men would be drawn to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. It's imperative that we lay hold of the things that have been spoken into our spirit this week. There are things that have been applicable, some things that have been planted in our spirit that we just pray and trust the Lord to seal them there. And then in his timing, he will draw them back out. And so we lay hold and receive them. I'm thankful for all he's doing. Matthew chapter 1. I don't feel like I have a message tonight. I feel like, and I say that in the sense of, for those of you that may be here and be like, okay, well, we're going to read a scripture and then he'll say a few things and we'll have a I don't feel like I have one of those tonight. I feel like the Lord has something specific to declare to some here that will receive what he will declare to you. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. This can be seen as a, if we're not careful, a boring passage of scripture, but I'm going to read fast so you can keep up. Or if that was your warning, I knew you were with me, Brother Mark. I never doubted. Verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Judas begat Phares, Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon. And we read all these names, and we see all these names, and we go, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David the king. David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa. And if we were to stop and take a poll right now and ask you how many of these people's names do you really know from the scripture, you'd be like, well, David I've heard of. Solomon, Jacob, yeah, Abraham, a few, but these other people. Asa begat Josaphat, Josaphat begat Joram, Joram begat Uzzias. I never heard of Uzzias until here. Uzzias begat Jotham, Jotham begat Achaz, Achaz begat Ezekias, Ezekias begat Manasseh, Manasseh begat Amon, Amon begat Josias, Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren. You're feeling real spiritual right now, aren't you? You know why? Because we discount people we don't know. We discount people we don't know. The Lord didn't discount them. There's a reason he named them. They were his bloodline. They were his bloodline. He knew their name. He wanted their name recorded because they were his bloodline. It's interesting to me, there's some ladies mentioned there. Did you notice that? I mean, these were reputable women. Rahab, that's Rahab, in case you didn't know. And if you didn't know who Rahab or Rahab was, she was a harlot. She was a prostitute. When the men of Israel went into Jericho, they ended up at the prostitute's house. I don't even want to try to figure that out. And then there's one lady's mentioned. They don't even tell us her name. They just say she was the one that was the wife of Urias. There's a story. I have a question for you and I. Were they chosen? Were they? You have to answer that question. Were they chosen? Were these individuals, through hundreds of years here where we're reading, were they chosen? Or do they just sort of fall into the line along the way? I believe with every fiber of my spirit, they were chosen. Divinely ordered of God, born, Brother Johnstone, in timing and plan and preparation of God. God who from the beginning knew his plan and his design. His plan that when he said seed would produce seed after its kind and the seed would bruise the head of the serpent, the seed of the woman. What did he do through all of these generations? What was God doing? He was preserving the seed, preserving the seed, preserving the seed, preserving the seed, because he had a promise to fulfill through the seed. And so he had chosen vessels beginning to end to preserve a seed. Now there was a promise given to the seed of Abraham. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All of them, Abraham. All of them. Through whose seed? your seed, Abraham. So what did the plan and the purpose of Satan become? Destroy the seed. However I can, if I can find a way, I'll destroy the seed. And so I'll continue to look for a way to destroy the seed. And you can go from generation to generation. Don't worry, I won't take time tonight. Walk through the entire Old Testament, and where you see the enemy coming against the children of God, if you search and dig a little bit, it doesn't take long to uncover his motive. He's trying to destroy the seed. He knows the prophetic promise of God to the through Abraham. And so he says, if I can destroy the seed. And so he keeps looking. Who's God going to choose? Who's God going to choose? And he's looking, well, it must be the firstborn. I'll go after the firstborn. And so we heard about Esau and Jacob the first night. And so carnality gets a hold of the firstborn. But God says, you would have chosen that one. But I chose the one you wouldn't have chosen. And preserve the seed. God does not choose who man would choose. God chooses the one that's a vessel that will be available to him. And so we see this pattern throughout. If you were to take the time and study these names here, encourage you to do so. It's a great Bible study. And look at the things and the ways that God used and chose and selected them. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Not right now. I'm just saying on another time on your own. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Read about the heroes of faith. Jephthah was rejected by his own brothers till crisis came, but he made his way into the book. Gideon was hiding behind the wine press, afraid, just trying to get a little enough for his own family. But he was chosen of God for an hour and a purpose and a plan. Why did God choose him? The same reason he chose you. The same reason he chose me. Brother Dobbs ministered this afternoon very candidly and very transparently. And I would dare say if somebody looked into his life somewhere early in the journey, we could have been guilty of writing somebody off that God had chosen. And there's some sitting here. No one's writing you off except you. Because you've been deceived into believing you don't have the pedigree. God never chose you based on your pedigree. He chose you and I based on his purpose. I have scripture for that. The book of Acts, chapter number 9. You can see it there. You've probably read the story. Acts chapter 9, verse 11. We probably better start with verse 10. I know you love it when we do that to you. There was a certain disciple. This is important. He was not just any disciple. There's this falsehood that says, well, if God doesn't use me, he'll just find somebody else. I've even heard that preached before. Well, if you don't, God will just find somebody else. I guess maybe that could be true somewhere in some element. But what I see in the scripture, that doesn't bear out. You want an example? Jonah, go to Nineveh. I have no interest in going. Matter of fact, I'm going to prove God I have no interest in going. I'm going to buy a ticket and I'm going to go the other direction. Lord, you just get somebody else. And so the Lord just got somebody else, didn't he? What did the Lord do? The Lord caused a storm to come into the man's life and prepared a means of getting him postured so that he would be willing to say, Lord, okay, I'll do what you're asking me to do. Why was the Lord so intent on Jonah? I don't know, but he was the one he chose. And because he chose him, he had a responsibility to the work and the kingdom of God. You and I are chosen of God for this hour. Brother Miko Laksamana had those of you 35 and understand, hear the voice of the Lord. You are chosen for this hour. You are not chosen for 10 years down the road. While if the Lord tarries, I trust you'll still be walking in His choosing. But it is not an hour to wait. It is an hour to work. It is an hour to walk in the calling of God that rests upon your life. It is an hour to live in the calling of God that is upon your life. It's an hour to purpose to yield to His calling and walk in it. If you're here and you're saying, well, I don't even know what that looks like, get into a closet of prayer until you do. Get into a closet of prayer. Get aligned with the man and woman of God in your life that God has given you as a spiritual covering and a spiritual authority until you understand clearly, this is where I'm supposed to be aligned. This is a God-ordained connection, not something I sought out because of the flavor of the day. But God has placed me here. God has aligned me here. And as long as I'm aligned where He has, I'm going to walk in His purpose. There was a certain disciple, certain, selected, chosen, ordained of God. He was at Damascus. His name was Ananias. To him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. He said, behold, I'm here, Lord. He knew the voice of God. And the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard some things. You know, it is a pattern of the enemy to plant thought that is contrary to one God has chosen so that we'll dismiss them ahead of God's timing. Scripture. Moses is standing before two of his brethren. Stop arguing. Stop fighting. I'm paraphrasing. And they look at Moses and they said, who made you? And their words questioned the calling of God on his life at an early age. And he ran for 40 years. I wonder if those people were still living when he came back as the deliverer. How do you see him now? How do you see him now? He was chosen from the day he was born. I believe he was chosen before he was born. The Lord had a plan from the beginning, and he chose Moses to fulfill it. But there were those who heard he'd killed somebody, and they questioned the calling on his life. Ananias said, Lord, I've heard. There will be things you will hear that will cause you to question the calling on people's lives that God puts around you. We better be careful about what we give ear to and determine. I don't care what they say, whoever they are. What does the Lord have to say? What does the Lord have to say? We spend a lot of time qualifying an individual. What does the Lord have to say? He spoke through a donkey. He can use pretty much whatever he wants and whomever he wants. So Ananias says, Lord, I've heard. by many of this man how much evil he's done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here, Lord, he's got authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. Do you ever pray and tell God what he doesn't know? Thank you. Somebody else said guilty. I said, thank you, Jesus. Lord, just in case you're not aware of the circumstances and what you're asking me to do, I'm not sure you understand the risk you're asking me to take, Lord, by asking me to obey you. And so what you're asking me to do, Lord, there's some risk involved. I just want to make sure you understand them. So if you want to reconsider what you're asking of me, once you have all the facts, Lord. Now that sounds foolish, doesn't it? But we do that. Lord, do you understand that this is like all the meal that's left in my barrel? And you're asking me to do what with it? Man of God, in case you didn't know, I've just got a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal. And my son's at home, and I'm going to make a cake for him and I, and him and I are going to eat it, and we're going to die. Do you understand what you're asking of me? The Lord knows what he's asking of us. But we do this because we're human, and that's okay. The Lord's patient with us. So he shares this, and I want you to watch what the Lord says to him. Go your way. Notice the Lord did not say, go my way. The Lord said, go your way. King James, thy. Go your way. You know what that tells me? This was an ordained direction from God for Ananias' life. He didn't say, Ananias, go my way. It was his way. But he was saying, Ananias, this is your way. It's the way that I chose for you. Ananias, I don't care what the circumstances look like. I don't care what you've heard from somebody else. I don't care, Brother Miko, how old you are or not. I don't care about those things. Ananias, I have made this way. Go your way. Here's why. Right? Colon, go thy way. Colon, why? What's after that? For he is a, what is Paul? We call him the greatest missionary that ever lived, or I've heard that term. Evangelist, apostle, servant, preacher. You fill in the blank. The Lord didn't call him that. The Lord said, get ready for this big title the Lord's getting ready to put on him. For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. The word vessel there, I wish it meant something really grandiose that I could share with you tonight. It means, in most translations, it's a basic household utensil. No, look it up. In most translations, it's a basic household utensil or an implement. In some places in the plural, it's like, or in the plural, it's tackling on a ship to get it to go a certain direction, like ropes and different. Sorry, it's not like this golden picture with, you know, diamond encrusted handle that water just comes out, chilled to perfect temperature. Just a household instrument. Ananias, I chose him. Why did you choose him, Lord? He's a vessel. A vessel that I can work through. A vessel that I can work with. A vessel that has purpose for my kingdom and my plan. Notice the Lord didn't say he's a great and accomplished man that's been doing everything I've asked of him. We know that wasn't the case. The Lord didn't say he's got it all right and everything's in order and he realizes he was wrong doing all the stuff he's done and he's repented and he's cried out to me in desperation and so he's now, you know, he's got about 20 years ahead of him before he's ready, but I just want to start the process now, Ananias. You are a chosen vessel. The Lord is not looking for refined, perfected, well put together. Thank you, Brother Bourne, for asking how many of you have it all together. He's just wanting the vessel. The vessel. The only requirement is to be a vessel. An implement that he'll work through. An implement that will avail yourself. An implement that says, I'm the vessel, you're God. However you choose to work with this vessel is your business. Just take this vessel and use it. Take this vessel and do what pleases you. Take this vessel and work through it according to your purpose. Take this vessel and direct it according to your plan. Take this vessel and do anything that pleases you in the way that it pleases you. I'll not tell you how to do it. I'll not impress upon you what I think needs to be done. I'll just avail myself and say, I'm a vessel. The Apostle Paul was nothing more, not belittling what God did with him, but he was nothing more than a chosen vessel. Why is this so important to us tonight as we get ready to go back our separate ways? Because if we come and the Lord pours into us as he has, and he delivers us from so much as he has, as he puts word and spirit into our spirit as he has, as he forms and fashions as he has over these last day and a half or so, if we walk out of here still questioning who we are and what we're supposed to be doing, then all that he's done has not fulfilled what he intended. It was to bring us to a place of understanding. I'm a vessel. And if he can do these things in my life, then he will use me to accomplish these things for his purpose and his kingdom. Somewhere along the way, I've got to stop turning to God for everything I need and simply be the vessel that he needs. He will supply all your need. Stand on that word and then serve his need. Come on, reach right now if you would with me. You are a chosen vessel. You are a chosen vessel. Dismiss all the noise about have to do this, have to do that first, got to accomplish this first, need to cross this off the list first. Once this is done, then you're trying to earn or prove something. Be a vessel, empty, open, broken before God, a chosen vessel unto him. The vessel doesn't say to the maker, use me this way, do that. The vessel simply says, yes, I'm available to you. Yes, here I am. What you choose is good. What you choose is right. Your way, Lord, will be my way. Come on, you are a chosen vessel. You are, the Lord wants it personal in your spirit. He's not talking to the one to your right or the one to your left and excluding you. You, this is personal with God. Come on, stand where you are right now. Talk to him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, would you just cast every excuse on him right now and open your spirit completely? Lord, I cast off every qualifier. Here I am. Come on, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Come on, you will speak to blinded eyes and they will be open. You will speak to deaf ears and they will be open. You will speak to the dead and they'll come to life. Come on, you are the chosen vessel. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, itarebo kositi erele di harabakahaye. Iralamando robokoshi aratahaye. Itabayetehe. Tita mahashete yekita hayeshi. 21 and a half years ago, I went to a whatever it was called then meeting in Maryland with Bishop, and I believe it was the last night, and we had gone through the 5 days of fasting and prayer and ministry, and I was there at the front in the building that is now gone, and I could probably take you to the place on the concrete pad about where I was, and I was kneeling there on the floor, my face on the floor, and talking to the Lord. And someone came up behind me, Brother Dobbs, and put their hand on my back and began to pray. I know some of you have heard this. As they began to pray, the power of the Lord came on me in a great way. I began to intercede like I'd never interceded before. I felt such a strong power of the Spirit of the Lord and was given. And the more I'd pray, the more they'd pray, and the more they'd press. And I thought, if they keep pressing and keep praying, I'm not sure I'm ever getting up. And I would go further into the floor until I was just flat on the floor, and they didn't stop. They just kept their hands there praying, praying, praying. And utterance kept flowing, and it was like Things were being pulled out of me and put in me and pulled out of me and put in me and pulled out of me and put in me. This went on for a little while. They left. I didn't. I was just there. Here's how humanity is. I wanted to know who prayed for me. Don't look at me all spiritual like. Anybody else would have wanted to know who prayed for you? Thank God for. I wanted to know. I wanted to thank him. I did. I wanted to thank him. So they pointed him out to me. It was a 10-year-old boy. It was a 10-year-old boy. See, I never saw, because the Lord knew me enough that knew I'd qualify the vessel if I could see the vessel. But if I would stop looking at the vessel and just trust the flow of the Spirit through whatever vessel He chooses. I'm just stepping here so I can see everybody that I can't see. There's some of you, the only reason you haven't progressed in the Spirit the way God wants you to progress in the Spirit is because you have yet to get your eyes off the vessel. But if you and I will purpose, Lord, I'll be a vessel. I'll receive your word that I'm a chosen vessel. It was coursing through my spirit as Brother Miko was sharing these things. You are a chosen generation. That is the word of God for you in this hour. You are a chosen generation. So I went to that 10-year-old. I thought, man, this is a spiritual prodigy. I'm just being transparent with you. I know you wouldn't have thought that. You would have just been like, well, praise God, he used him. And I want to go meet this kid. I went up. I shook his hand. Hey, bud, I want to thank you. You know, I thought, man, we're going to the spiritual connection that was happening up here for 15, 20 minutes when he prayed me into the carpet and about took my insides out, the work of the Holy Ghost. I wanted to let's connect spiritually here real quick, young man. When I shook his hand, Gonzalez, you know what he was? He was all 10-year-old boy. I mean, he was all boy. Oh, I don't know if he remembered praying for me or not. He had moved on from the moment. I mean, he had. It sort of burst my bubble. He had moved on from the moment. And I realized something in that moment. That's why the Lord used that vessel. He didn't walk away from the moment going, wow, man, God just used me. Power and anointing that flowed through me. I prayed that man into the carpet. He was oblivious to it. I mean, it was. It took me a minute. That sort of threw me when he didn't. Like, you don't even know who I am, do you? The Lord just used you to radically transform things in my life, and you don't even know who I am. He was a vessel. He wasn't concerned with getting credit. He wasn't concerned with being known. He was just yielded. And in the moment on a Friday night, there was a man on the floor in Maryland. And so the 10-year-old boy walked up and obeyed the Holy Ghost and began to pray for this, at the time, 26-year-old man. And God forever changed my life. I know his name. He's preached in the pulpit. You are a chosen vessel. Stop trying to qualify yourself. More importantly, stop disqualifying yourself and just yield. Would you reach right now and yield? Come on, we're not focusing on giftings. We're not focusing on it. If the Lord wants to flow through this vessel with giftings, that's his business. We spend a whole lot of time focusing on the wrong stuff. Focus on him and just be the vessel. Kitaraba shetorobo koyi araba kahate. Hikororobo koshikata. Please don't rush past this. Come on, please don't rush past this right now. Hikatarebo koshiti amandalekeya. Hidarabaye kotoreba shitaralabakaya. Yaraba kitorobo shita mahare kotoye maha. Irolobo siye kitamaye torobo koriataha. Nele diarabaka yeto remilie ki arabaka. Nele ti elebe ki arabashe te iki amana. Nelobo kore yarabaye ki elobo si elebe kete. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, ikamaleto rebi iliesitiye, itamale kori ala mateo bositiye kitama. Ida mandele ki ele ki arabashe tele di ala maha. Yarabaka shetele diha. Jesus' name. Yara Maharakata. Yarabakaye teledi yarabakateyo. Irala mande ye ki arabakashetele di arabakataha. Come on, the Lord's putting things into your spirit. And He's taking some limitations off your mind right now, if you'll let Him. Come on, He's taking some limitations off of your mind and off of your spirit. And He's putting things in right now. Ika mande lo bokoshiti arabakahaye. Hila mando rekoye I arabaha elehende eki itiama. Ero lo bokori arabasheto lo bokoro poti arabakahaye. Hitare bokosi arabasheto lo bokoyo. Iarabakaye, Iaramata, Elobokoro, Hidalamasito reki arashata. Elobokori arashe, eki anando robokori ataha. Isate eki ataha. I don't know at what point that John the Baptist realized who he was. He had to somewhere. I've often wondered that. At what point did he... I mean, you understand. He grew up in a priest's home. He knew of the coming Messiah. He knew of Malachi, the prophet, and the declaration that there would be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I wonder when he realized he was the chosen one. I don't know. Somewhere along the way, he realized who he was. It's imperative that we let the Lord reveal to us who we are. And that then we walk in the word and the calling of God on our lives. He had to realize who he was. And so then he began to walk in the calling of who he was called to be.
And there was only one John the Baptist.
And there was only one.
There's only one of you.
It's critical. It's critical. No one can take your place. And so we must in this hour walk in the calling of God that's on our life. We must clear out all the other stuff that would keep us from knowing what that calling and purpose is so that we walk in it and we determine as the vessel. However you choose, it's up to you. John, blessed is the man that's not offended in me. I'm using you the way I intended to use you. This is what I chose you for. This is what I designed you for. This is your purpose when you came into your mother's womb. And so you're not going to be offended in how I use you. You're a vessel unto me. Come on, settle that in your spirit tonight. How you use me is your business, Lord. I give you full and complete permission, full and complete submission to you, Father. Submission fully to your purpose. How you use me is your choice. What you do with me is your choice. What comes of it is your choice. I am the vessel. In the name of Jesus.